Fierce Femme Media.
That sounds like a good, like, weekend goal.
Like a good, like, single person's amount of alcohol who is dieting.
A can of wine.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, though, man, I buy wine and I'm like, oh, no. Lex is like, I'm going to the store, do you need any wine? I'm like, honey, I'm fine. I have a ton of wine. Then I'll open the fridge and I'll be like, I don't know, maybe pick up a bottle or two.
I'm not even drinking. I'm not even drinking tonight. I'm too snacky. I'd rather have food.
I don't think you understand the point of this show.
I know, but push comes to shove.
Don't worry, Erin will drink
push
for you.
Push comes to shove tonight. I'm choosing snacks.
I'll tell you what, I saved like most of my calories so I could have four drinks.
Oh.
I'm like, I haven't been.
Who knew you were such the mathematician, is all I'm saying.
Zero calories because it's just like vodka and like seltzer.
Well, because vodka has like, if you do a single shot, it has like 70 calories in it.
Really?
No, I don't do a single shot. Like, let's be real. I do like a 5 count. So I'm like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's like how 3 shots.
Vodka I do.
That so is that's a like, heavy pour, my friend.
Yeah.
That you're the person that when they make you a drink and they hand it to you and you go, oh God. Oh God. What's in that? Aaron's not making drinks in Cabo. Or maybe Erin is making drinks in Cabo.
I think I should be allowed to. At least one night.
And then we could be like, we only have 3.
That's honestly what I always tell Gail. She'll be like, how much did you drink last night? I'm like, I just had 3.
Vodka. Did you guys see that meme going around on that little video on Facebook where the girl has like a whole glass of champagne and she takes that water spritzer with orange juice and just goes like puts her orange juice in her mimosa? I was like, I love it.
My kind of mimosa.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Erin, the lush, the geeky gal pal.
Oh, honey, everyone knows that listens to this.
I'm like, wait, I have more to say about vodka.
I haven't articulated my love for it quite enough yet. Tonight I am drinking Liberté. It's made in SLO, San Luis Obispo. California. It's a 2017 Pinot Noir, and it's delicious, by the way, and it's $9 at Trader Joe's. So,
Trader Joe's for the win.
Right. So the back says, forget the boundaries. The promise of the new world is reflected in the freedom of its winemaking. Emancipated from tyranny of old world bureaucracy and control, the new vintner dreams of something original. No rules to observe, no quotas to fill, nobody to serve. So I have to be honest, when I bought this, I bought it because of the girl on front, because I was feeling some type of way about Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying that night. And I was just like, yeah, I'm buying a bottle of wine that has like a girl with like a fucking tattoo, old school, on her shoulder. Like,
I like it.
Yeah, so it's really good though. I'm pleasantly surprised because you never know at Trader Joe's like what you're gonna get with $9. Sometimes it's better just to. It's a crapshoot.
It's always a crapshoot with $9 wine. Yeah, anywhere
for sure.
You said some type of way about Ruth dying, and my teenager corrected me the other day and was like, why do you say some type of way? And I'm like, well, because I don't know what word I want to use. And she's like, well, did you know that means like catching feelings? That's not what you think it means. And I was like, I've been using it wrong. I just use it like interchangeably when I don't want to say like I was feeling sad. I was feeling like,
listen,
mad,
don't let Generation angry, like, Z tell you what our lingo means. Okay. It may mean that to them. It doesn't mean that to us.
We can use it however like, the fuck we want to use it. God damn it.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep using it wrong, apparently. I am drinking this Monastrell wine, which I've never heard of, but apparently it's a red wine in France, parts of California, parts of Washington, and Spain. It's red. and I just got it because it has a skull and crossbones on the front, and I was feeling Halloween-y, so it's okay. It's a little tart.
You know the one thing that has not changed throughout the course of the 3 years we've been doing this podcast? Our seduction for marketing. Like, we are still suckers for a label, man.
100%.
Of all the wine we have tried in the last 3 years, we're still like, I like the bottle. You would think we would have become like our palates would become more refined, or we would have like found that. Nope. Absolutely not.
And you would have learned that the ones with the cutest labels usually are not the greatest.
Right. Sometimes they surprise you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Most how I feel about Yes Way Rosé.
You're not drinking anything, so we'll skip you.
No, I am drinking something.
No.
Drinking a pomegranate blueberry sparkling ice.
Nope.
I'm on a diet, and today was a day when I needed to eat my feelings a little, and so there wasn't anything left over to have alcohol.
We drink our feelings.
You drink your feelings and suppress it.
I couldn't make it to the drinking without the eating.
I get that.
So I am doing the exact opposite, and I am drinking my feelings. Blue Moon Light Sky. It's Blue Moon's new light beer, and it is fucking delicious. It is very good. 95 calories, 3.6 carbs, and I made sure that I had enough calories in my day to have 4.
That's so, not bad for a beer, though.
Right. And it's not like Mick Ultra, which is like pee.
Water.
Mm. Yeah. This is really good. It's got a great flavor. It's not orange. It's tangerine. So.
Oh, well, you should have led with that. My feelings have changed.
Okay.
No.
Good.
No.
Damn it. Either way, I did bring a couple White Claws in here, just in case.
At least it's not a Bud Light.
I like that you came with a backup stock.
Well, you know.
She's not prepared for a lot, but drinking, yes. Erin comes prepared.
I'm like, if I were ever, you know, like the person to bring along to anywhere, it'd be the person that you want that's like got the alcohol. That's going to be me. I'm always going to come prepared with that. I won't bring food. I'll bring alcohol.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, guys. The fuck? The world's going crazy. We're going to do listener questions today because there's just like so many things to talk about. So we thought we'd focus on... I did get quite a few this week, but I picked two... So we'll see where it goes. Okay. The first one is from Bridget. And she said, hey, ladies, I'm just going to cut right to the chase. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm so fed up with the fake news, the fake memes, smart people posting inaccurate information. And now we lost RBG. I understand that my want to give up comes from a place of privilege. I'm a straight white woman living in the suburbs of Wisconsin. My husband makes enough money for me to stay home with our two kids. And I live around people who look like me. So I understand when I say that I am tired, that is a privilege. But I just don't know what to do anymore. There are so many fights. There are only so many fights I can get in. There are only so many people I can block. And now we have to watch the douchebag replace RBG with some Handmaid's Tale clone. And for what? The Cheeto may not even leave the White House in January when he loses. Give me some of those calm and thoughtful words to recenter me. Thanks for helping me feel not so alone. And thanks for being so open about all the issues you talk about. By the way, I've now taken to drinking wine with you while I listen in my bathtub every week. So thanks.
Oh, hey.
I love
Don't
that.
Make it weird. Don't make it weird. You went straight, girls. You went straight, girls.
Straight ladies love me.
You went straight, girls. She didn't say, so we're not going to make any assumptions. Who wants to go first for Bridget?
Wait, we got to say something calm and not.
I love that somebody thinks that we're calming. I think we are very chaotic.
Yeah, I don't know if I should go first.
Well, Stacey's on mute and I think she's talking.
Yeah, she totally is.
Son of a bitch. Okay, you think after doing this for this long, I would know how to unmute myself.
But yeah, here we are.
Well, and I like to keep myself muted for like background noise because I'm snacking. Here's the thing I will say. It's a lot. It's a fucking lot right now. And so the one thing I will say during all of this that I've like really, really learned is how important mental health is. And like, you have to take care of your mental health the same way you have to take care of your physical health. And not just in like, you go to the doctor when you're not feeling good, but like you have to be proactive about your mental health. And so I've been seeing a therapist and now I'm seeing a wellness coach, which is, I think I talked about last week, is just something that like my insurance provides to me, which is awesome. But one of the things she had talked about was doing like a gratitude journal or like practicing gratitude and that sort of stuff. And one of the things that she said was like, how do you want to start your day? Do you want to start your day by framing things more positively and like listing things that you're grateful for? Or do you want to start it by going on Facebook and seeing all of the stuff people are posting? And it was in that moment when I realized like how much reading all of those things that you just mentioned was affecting me. The smart people, the people you care about, the people that you, it's so much more than just seeing points you disagree with. It's really hard and really draining to not, to question your feelings and your relationships about people that have been in your life for forever. Because I know I'm certainly experiencing that where I'm like, how do I move forward being a friend with this person or even talking about anything with this person? Because I question this person's judgment so much now and question who they are as a person. And so there's the initial like, oh, that information is not true. This is so stupid. And me wanting to get into that argument. But then there's this second layer that's like really heavy of things are not gonna get immediately better. And you have all these complicated relationships in your life. And I certainly don't have an answer for that. But I do know that I'm shying away from it a lot more, that I'm just going on Facebook less. I'm going, you know, I feel like TikTok is way more positive right now. I feel like even Instagram is a lot more positive right now to just be getting caught up with people. Because as much as I want to share and I want to get the word out and I want to, you know, whatever, it's just, it's heavy and it's too negative. And so I have to kind of give myself some time, like in the middle of the day at lunchtime or whatever, that I can like go on Facebook and look at things for a little while, but it can't be the first thing I do in the morning or the last thing I do before I go to bed, because it's so upsetting. And I didn't realize it until I stopped doing it as much. Like, that's when I realized how much I was internalizing that second layer of like, how do you come to terms with people that you're friends with, people that you love, family members, people you have respected that are in such moral opposition to you?
I also think, and I understand what Bridget's saying, because a part of you feels guilty. Like, we can, if you're in a position of privilege at all, you can take a step back, because these decisions that are being made may not actually immediately affect you. So I get what you're saying about also having that guilt for being like, I need to take a break from this. But what I want to tell Bridget and people that feel like Bridget is you should feel this way. Like, this is, it's so much. It's so fucking much. Besides the pandemic, besides, you know, your kids doing at home school, or, you know, now you're, I don't know if your husband's working at home with you, like everyone's in the house. You can't, vacations have been canceled. You can't go outside. You can't do certain things. You can't go to the gym. Like, there's all of these things that have been cut off. You can't go see friends and family. You can't, like, unless you put like a shit ton of thought into it and like a lot of planning and like all this stuff. And then to top it all off, it's just scandal after scandal after fucking scandal. And the opposition seems to just get more and more blind to it. And now they have finally started being honest and just being like, we don't care what he does, because this is about hating you. So the admittance of that, they answered our question of how do you guys not care about this? Because they don't care, because their hatred for the left means more to them than what the president is doing. And then RBG. And the sad thing is, an 87-year-old woman dying of cancer that she's had for several years should not have shocked anyone. She had a good run. She did more with her life than 95% of people I know will ever do with theirs. She was a beacon of hope for feminism. She was a beacon of hope for equality for men and women. And you shouldn't feel as desperate and scared when someone like that dies as we all do. So you compound that on top of then the president talking about, I don't even know if I'll leave office if this happens. And then you see the right talking about get ready for a civil war. So Bridget, your reaction, I think it's normal. You're paying attention. You are rooted in reality and you get it. I do want to say, though, I think half the point is to make us exhausted. It is to fatigue us. It is to get us to the point where we don't care, where we stop fighting, and we just hope that it goes away. All right? That there is, it's soldiers fatigue. It's battle fatigue. It is when you have been in it so long, it becomes part so much of your everyday life, it's all you can see. And that is the part that is unhealthy. So it's like a perfect storm right now because it's real easy to get lost in social media because we don't have a tremendous amount of contact with the outside world. Even everything in your life is different from if your kids played sports to how your kids go to school to everything is different to how you go out to eat with your friends. Like it's this force that's pulling us to the one convenient thing of doom scrolling and it's just making everything worse. So the only thing I can say to you is, like Stacey was just saying, you're going to have to find a way. We all have to find a way to balance it. Yes, this is important. Yes, what's happening is exhausting. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, I cannot wait for this election just to happen and be over so we can see what we're going to have to deal with. But I also need to remember I have a wife and a son that depend on me for, you know, some type of like mental stability and to be present when I'm with them. You may want to start picking out hours of the day where you're just playing games with your kids or watching movies with your kids and everyone puts their phones away. No one's allowed on the internet because that's what sucks us in, right? It's the doom scrolling. I can't believe this person said this. And what did that asshole say now? And can you, although I will say I got a lot of joy from hearing him scream that vote him out at RBG's.
Oh my God.
But I digress. So it's petty good. Of me. But you're not feeling, you're not alone.
Petty, you're in good company.
But I do think it's the point. It's to wear people down to where they give up hope. Because now you look at it and everyone's like, your vote's not even going to matter. It's all going to be contested. He's going to call it into question anyway. They're going to throw away, you know, 15 million mail-in ballots. So you're screwed either way. Like, blah, blah, blah. That's intentional. Everything is intentional to try to disengage you from what is happening. So find your balance. We got 40 something more days to go and then we'll reassess. All you can do with what is going on is to compartmentalize and see what you can achieve that day and see what little things you can do to make yourself feel better that day. If you look at everything going on in the world as a whole, it will overwhelm you. It will depress you and it will burn you out. So take every day, day by day, take each bit of information day by day. I mean, we have this mutual friend. I have finally just stopped. I've stopped engaging because I don't have it in me anymore. And I love this person dearly. My son calls her a grandma. Like I love her, but I can't. I've just stopped because it hurts too much to see what she says about people who think and feel the way I do. So the more I engage with her, the more hurtful things are said and the more upset I become. So before I lose all respect, I have to take myself out of the situation. And I think that's how you may have to start approaching certain relationships, at least until this goes away and we can reassess what the situation we're placed in at that time. As far as losing RBG, he's going to nominate someone else. That is a reality. And they're probably going to vote on it. That is another reality. And at that point, the Democratic Party will have some serious decisions to make if we win in the next year about deciding whether or not to place two or four more people on the Supreme Court to even out the losses that we've sustained through stolen seats. So one thing at a time, one thing is all I can, that's the only amount of advice I can give you. I'm sorry. We all feel it. We're all here with you sitting in our bathtubs, drinking wine.
The only thing that I am obviously guilty of doom scrolling. I've started to engage more, like calling people out. Like, are you kidding me? You sound like an idiot. You sound like a cabbage. Like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Like, are you a human being or a bag of hair? Like, what the hell? Like, I truly, truly, truly feel like I have to stop, because, like, I have found, obviously, that the people that I go to the most are you guys, obviously. I talk to you a lot throughout the day when something crazy happens and I need to vent about it, I talk to you. Obviously, I talk to my girlfriend, but I have found that when I start to engage, it gets me so ramped up that I feel like I could, like, literally Hulk smash somebody. And I am too, like, anxious and worrisome to continue on that path. So what my piece of advice is to seek solace with your friends, your like-minded friends. But don't forget that there are many people out there that don't think the way you do, and to consciously continue to fight for what is right and for what you believe in, because, like Jackie said, they're trying to make us tired. And if you get so tired, you give up, they are winning. So don't give up, but also remember that your mental health and your physical health, because a lot of times your mental health just affects your physical health, which means you're fucked all the way. So,
and not in a good way.
Not in a good way. Not in a good way. But I think it's really important to remember that you will continue on after this election, regardless of what happens. So you want to make sure that you have the best mental ability to carry on with whatever direction we need to go when the election happens and whatever the outcome is.
Whatever, for what it's worth, my wife gave me some advice, some therapist advice, which sometimes I ignore it, sometimes I take it. But I usually ignore it when I'm being obstinate, and I then secretly take it and don't tell her. But she had said, now that they have admitted that this is what they're doing it because they hate you, stop feeding them. Stop engaging with them. Stop getting into it with them. Let them spill their hatred and blather everywhere, and then just use your voice when you vote. That's the best remedy, because you're not going to change their mind. They're looking for ways to hurt you, to jab at you, to make you more mad, because that is clearly the entire intention of what they're doing. So if you cut off the source of their food, essentially, they'll starve themselves out. So I've been trying to practice that, even though sometimes it's very hard. Very hard. Stace, you got anything?
I mean, you guys really covered it. Like, I totally agree with what Stacey said about just not going on Facebook very much anymore. I barely go on. I kind of just check my notifications. I scroll for like a minute and then I'm like, whatever. And really just distracting yourself with, you know, whatever your thing is. Read a book, watch a new Netflix series, craft. I've been making wreaths like crazy. They're on every door of my house now, and I have 7 doors. So like, just distracting yourself is really good. And kind of what Jack said about, like, the people that post memes that are, you know, like anti-maskers, they post these memes, and if you go in and comment and say, well, actually this and this, and you're a side of it, all their friends are going to jump all over you, because usually they're friends with like-minded people. So all you're going to do is get in an argument with a bunch of people whose minds you're not going to change, who are just going to yell at you and, you know, rile you up, and it's not worth it. For your mental health, it's not worth it. I did it today, and I didn't go back. Which is very big. Like, I normally will go back and be like, meh, 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 you know, but I commented my piece, and I know it was not what she believed. And one of her friends commented and was rude and said, had some stuff and posted some memes. And I was like, okay, and walked away, and I never responded. And I'm like, I never do that. So I feel like it's easier to not even reply. And like Jack said, just show them with your vote, you know, like, there's more people out there that agree with you. Don't feel like you're ganged up on. Don't feel like you're, you know, the only one out there. There are other people out there that think the same as us. So that's really it.
Yeah. Can I add one thing onto that?
No.
Like,
I'm just kidding. Yeah. What have I ever been able to stop one of you guys from talking? Please.
Isn't it being cute that I asked, though.
Yeah, it is. I appreciate it.
I know.
It's adorable.
So, but I think that's so important, like what you and Aaron both said, Stace, is that like you still have to do something, right? Like you, and I think that's, you know, that's the point. Like you still have to fight for what you believe in. Just maybe don't get in arguments with people on Facebook. Like that seems to be the thing that's not working. But you can make donations, you can volunteer, you can phone bank, you can, you know, you can text bank, you can do all of these things to help support that cause, you know. You can go volunteer on election day. Like there's many ways that you can continue the fight without hurting yourself with the fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
So Sadie wrote in and she said, excuse me, I'm not an anti-masker. I believe the virus is real. I know people are dying and I understand the magnitude of our inefficient response. I wanted to lead with that before I said this. The virus and the precautions necessary to combat it are having a negative psychological effect on my kids, my relationship with my husband, and my aging parents. I feel so very torn about what to do and how to keep going forward since this doesn't seem that it will end anytime soon. I'm no longer sure what is too much, just right, or not enough. Every decision I make feels like a double negative. Any advice? Also, please tell me that asshole pretending to be the president will actually leave in January. Please tell me the media is overhyping his response. Please, 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 please.
Oh, I wish we could tell you that.
I feel like this one kind of like spoke to me because I've been feeling the same way lately. I feel like with having a lot of the people in my life split down the middle, a lot of the people in my life wear masks and sanitize and don't get together and are very proactive and, you know, and then a lot of people in my life are anti-mask and just still hanging out, going out, going to restaurants and doing their thing without any care, and they'll fight you on it. So I see both sides and I'm torn because part of me is like, I don't personally know anybody that's been super affected. And I feel like that makes me let my guard down. Also the really low numbers in my town. And I feel like I have to reel myself back in and go, no, like, don't skip the mask. Don't skip hand sanitizing when you're back in the car. Don't skip these little things because that's putting yourself at risk. It's putting your family at risk, you know. Don't do these things. And but I have to consciously think about it. Whereas before, when we first started quarantining, I was on board. I mean, we were wiping groceries down and spraying Amazon boxes of Lysol and shit. And now we've relaxed a little bit and I find myself just wondering, like, are we being overly conscious in our house? Are we doing the right thing? Are we, you know, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we overdoing it? I'm totally torn. So I feel like this listener like really spoke to me. I'm feeling the same way. My cousins they're not anti-maskers, but they still get together and stuff and they don't think they think the masks are a little overboard. So they've been getting together and I feel so left out lately. And I'm like, it sucks. I haven't seen my grandma in like 6 months, longest I've ever gone. And they're going to see her all the time. And I'm like, I feel really, you know, FOMO, totally. I feel left out and I feel like I should just go do it. And then I have all these second thoughts and I feel guilty. And, you know, I'm with you on this one. I'd love to hear somebody have some kind of good advice because I'm there.
Well, I think part of the problem is with stuff like this, because it's a new virus, like we won't actually know what the correct response was until years from now. Like we're not actually going to have a handle on the damage that it's caused, not just deaths. And I'm not minimizing the 202,000 people that have died from coronavirus, but I mean, you see people now with the long-term effects of it. There's holes in people's hearts. There's holes in people's chests. Like yeah. There's all of these long-term effects. I am fortunate and unfortunate because I do know people that have got it and have gotten severely sick from it. And I have colleagues at work that's parents have actually died from it. So I've seen firsthand what it could do, which keeps me real like cognizant of it. But I get it. It's hard because it hasn't touched our like inner circle of people. Yes, Aaron's girlfriend got it, but she, thank goodness, had a relatively mild case of it and doesn't seem to have any long-term effects of it. So And of course, there's different different strands out there. Like, people can catch it. Like, so many things come into play. And then you see, like, that 28-year-old OBGYN who just died of it. Like, you see those instances and you're just like, Jesus Christ. And then, of course, you see all these assholes in the comments being like, well, she had asthma. Okay, fuck you. She was still a 28-year-old OBGYN. Like,
yeah,
she shouldn't have died from asthma. Like, COVID killed her. So I totally understand what this person is saying. And I even am empathetic to the people who are having depression because of this. And they see their kids are depressed because their kids got picked up from school one day and haven't gotten to see their friends again, like, in person. So I see my wife struggling with it because her only social interactions is when we have our few friends over on Wednesday nights who, I mean, Stacy's one of them, but she's, you know, isolated. And then our other friend, Christina, she takes tests constantly because she's working somewhere that requires it too. So, like, I see the psychological effects it has on her. All I can say to this person is, again, just like Bridget, you're not alone. I think most people feel like this. Is you are a realist. You realize that it's real. You realize that people are dying from it, which is horrific. You're a little bit mad because, God damn it, if Hillary Clinton had been president, this would have been handled in March and we wouldn't still be dealing with it right now. And you're pissed because fucking Trump knew and didn't do anything to fix it. And now it's become a political issue when it never should have been one. And the right is pointing to the left and the left is pointing to the right. And it's like, guys, it's killing everyone. COVID doesn't give a shit who you're voting for. Okay. So it's so frustrating. And I can't even imagine. I'm lucky enough that my son is pretty young, so he doesn't quite understand the implications of, but I'm scared because my wife's about to get on a plane and Lincoln's too. And he will wear a mask, but I don't know if he's going to wear one for 6 hours on a plane. And are they going to get kicked off? Is my wife not going to get to see her mom who they're considering putting on hospice? Like, I don't know. Like, it's so hard. So I would say the best thing you can do is evaluate your community. What are the numbers like there? Who is in your social circle of friends that you can go see? Are they also safe? Are they limiting their contact with others? Is there a certain amount of exposure versus risk you're willing to accept in your life to kind of fill some of these holes until life itself can get back to normal? Because that's all you can really assess, right? Like, Stacy's numbers where she lives are not the same as the Bay Area where we live. So she is safer in her community than the Bay Area is. Aaron lives in Florida where it's a whole fucking swamp dick tank. Like,
and they're opening everything, like phase three. Yeah.
So you have to assess what makes sense for you and your family. If your family has underlying conditions, if your family would be at greater risk if someone caught it, like, all of those things come into play, I think. And also the mental health of your family. And is there an imminent danger of someone becoming so depressed that they're a danger to themselves that you need to really find different avenues to do something else? I don't like making sweeping generalizations because I think in situations like this, it's so dependent on so many factors that we cannot control and we cannot know about you. So I would do some soul searching. Talk to your husband about it. See what his comfort level is. Is he working from home? Is he going to the office? Like, is he exposed to a lot of people? Like, do you have friends that are also all working from home? Their kids are all home. Can you guys get together because you're real limited in your contact with people? Like, those are all things that you have to decide for yourself.
You can go.
Are you sure?
I'll go.
Listen, I don't want to fight with you, Karen.
I know, God, we just broke up. Can we get back together?
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, though. So I was just going to say, so one of the things that I've struggled with, because obviously, you know, Gail did have COVID. She did not have a super, super hard bout with it. It did last like almost a month. So, I mean, it was a bad cold for a month and she did not handle it well. I can say that 'cause she doesn't listen to the podcast, but also she would tell you she was a hot mess. Like, she was so sad, so depressed. We had to quarantine from each other in the house, you know? So there was a lot that went on. One of the things that I have because I, like I said, I'm very anxious. I have like a lot of fucking issues. One of the things that I've decided is that I can only control myself. And obviously I don't have kids, but I can control my kids if I had them, hopefully. But we went to Indiana and we got together with a bunch of our friends. No one had a mask on, and it was, I don't know why, but it was the safest I had felt in a really long time. And I think probably because we were in Northwest Indiana, where the numbers are so low that it's just, it was probably not going to be there. But who knows, right? It's silent. Who knows? But it was odd how safe I felt. And I think that was a false sense of safeness, obviously. But like Jackie said, I think you just have to make decisions based on like where you're at and who you're with and how do you feel about the people that you're with? Like, are they safe? Do they make the right decisions? But like, Stace, like you said, like you've kind of, cut back on like super duper sanitizing everything that comes into the house and things like that. Like, so have we. And I feel like it's almost that same thing where you like become complacent until it happens. But it's also, I feel like there's gotta be like a medium where you can get, where you feel okay. And you're not consciously like always worried about contracting it. And at this present moment, I wear a mask and do what I need to do. And we go to, like, we went over the weekend, we were at, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and we went to Disney Springs. We had our masks on. Everybody had masks on. We sanitized. Like, I feel like we're out and about, and that's what we're going to have to do until, and I feel like as a parent, you just have to make those decisions. Like, we're just going to have to do it. And, you know, your kids are maybe struggling with it, but maybe you can just explain to them, like, eventually it'll be done. Like, well, hopefully we'll be over this, you know, in however many months.
1 billion years.
Yeah, if the Republicans have their way, it'll be over November 4th. So,
there you go. I think a lot of it has to do with framing, too, right? Like, I see all of these parents complaining about wearing masks, complaining about doing distance learning. Like, your kids listen and they felt like they have their own feelings, but when you're constantly framing things negatively, they pick up on that. And so instead of saying like, oh, we have to wear a mask, we have to do that. Like, if you can try and start, and not you specifically, but just everyone can start framing things a little bit more like, hey, we can go do this. We get to go do this. We just have to wear a mask. Like, but I think if you look at it that way, instead of looking at all the things you can't do, like, find ways to do things that feel normal. Like, I went and got my hair done for the first time yesterday. I had to text them when I got outside. And then I came, met her at the door when she was ready. She took my temperature. I signed a thing. Like, I kept my mask on the whole time. They had things up in between the stations. Like, it felt very safe. And so instead of being like, oh, I had to do these things, like, I got to get my hair done for the first time in 7 months. And so that was a fun thing for me. They got to open back up. They just had to follow these guidelines instead of we have to follow all these stupid guidelines. Like, try and frame things a little bit more positively, but also because this has been going on for such a long time now, I don't think people are paying as much attention to their current health orders in their county. And I would recommend that you do that, because even though there's press releases and even though they're putting things out, there's a lot of changes that have happened. There's a lot of recommendations, and those don't always get as much traction because there's so much going on in the world right now. So stay up to date on what your local guidelines are, because I think a lot of people are living in like what the guidelines were a month ago because they're just not paying attention. Like, you can have a social bubble. You can go see people. You can have cohorts for distance learning. So try and find ways that you can make it work a little bit more for you. Maybe if you have two or three friends that are all, you know, following rules and you feel safe around them, maybe rotate all your kids and have them do distance learning together at everybody's house one day a week. I know some kids that are in high school that do that. They have their little stable group and they rotate around from each kid's house every day of the week. And they all sit in the same room and do their distance learning together. And it just gives them that sense of being around other people. And something that's small like that can make a huge difference. But same, I'm not spraying all my groceries down. I'm not whatever, but I wear a mask every time I go somewhere. I have hand sanitizer in the cup holder of my car that I just use the second I get back in. I wash my hands when I get back home. I wash my hands before I eat. Like, I'm cognizant of those things, but at the same time, like, I'm just trying to focus on the positives. Like, I think you feel how you frame it, right? Like, I could feel like I'm being kept in a jail if that's how I was looking at it. People are so upset about not being able to go places. Where can you not go? There's a handful of things that you still can't do. And everything else, for the most part, is open with some restrictions. There's no school. There's no live sporting events there, at least where we are. There's no indoor dining. Other than that,
playgrounds
you just
closed.
Have to follow. Right, playgrounds are closed. So you have to follow the guidelines. But again, playgrounds are closed is a perfect example. I get a lot of feedback about that kind
what?
Of stuff. And it's like, that
what?
Means my kids can't play. My kids can't go to school and they can't play. Well, there's lots of ways your kids can play that don't involve a playground. And so you just have to think outside the box a little bit. And if you're not sure, join some. This is, I mean, Facebook we just talked about. But there are some positives that have come out of Facebook if you stay off of your own feed and join some groups. There's some, like, quarantine idea groups. Stuff like
wreck at home
kind of give you that can give you some different ideas of stuff that you can do just to change it up a little bit and try and be positive instead of like, oh, trick or treating's canceled and we're gonna do it instead. Look at what your local rec departments are doing for like county approved fun, safe, you know, Halloween events, and don't put all that negativity on your kids. Don't tell them that Halloween's canceled but we're gonna trick or treat anyway. All it's teaching them is to be upset and to be an asshole. Like, follow the rules and go do the thing you're allowed to do. You make it negative for them. And I just, that frustrates me. I used to teach dance. And I remember I had a class of four-year-olds. And when we do a recital, there's tape on the ground. You just go stand on a piece of tape. They're in windows so everybody can be seen. That's how we do it. They don't get assigned spots because they're so young. And I'll never forget, I had one class and we went out, we did the recital. Everything was great. The kids did such a good job. And afterward, the mom came up to me screaming and yelling at me because her kid stood in the back and she couldn't see her. And in front of this kid who was so proud of the job she had just done, was screaming and yelling and berating me and causing a scene. And the little girl started crying. Not once did they ever say, you did a really good job. They brought up every single negative thing. And that turned that experience from that kid from a super positive one to such a negative one. And you could see it just drain out of her face. And you're doing the same thing when you talk so negatively about what's going on in the world right now. Like, frame it better for your kids so they're dealing with their own shit and not yours too.
Well, and people are resilient, right? Like, so everyone is finding a new normal. And I know the right says, I hate that term, but it is a new normal because we're going to be dealing with this until probably next summer. Like, realistically, this is going to be what we're doing till next summer. And companies have gotten pretty creative on ways to be able to get themselves back open up. And yes, local recreation departments and private recreation providers have gotten pretty creative on ways that they can still service the community. And no, it may not be what you're used to. And yes, your kids may be dropped off at soccer practice and you're going to have to sit in your car and watch soccer. But guess what? As someone who's done youth sports, kids get more enjoyment out of it when you're not there yelling at them at practice. So, like, there's all of these little things that, yes, they can still have somewhat of normalcy. Like, we have been telling Lincoln for weeks, you get to go see Pop-Up, but you're going to have to wear a mask like Mama when you get on the plane because that's what you're going to have to do when you get there. And we got him a Mickey one with, like, the cameras. And, like, so we try to make it, like, and we take him out when he goes out in public now, even though in most places, kids aren't required to wear a mask at his age. We have him wear one so he's used to it. So it's not like the first time he's putting one on when he gets on the airplane. And I'll tell you what, at 2 years old, he walks around real proud of himself for having a mask on like Mom and Mama. Like, he's very excited about it. So it's just kind of, we've tried to make it fun for him to do it. And we've just been telling him consistently, hey, when you go do this, this is what you're going to have to do to get on the plane. He's just like, okay. So it's not going to be a surprise for him. So I think a certain amount of like preparation too, of making them understand, like, we're all doing this together. And, you know, I mean, you get it. We've been doing this a long fucking time. So, but the reality is it's not going anywhere for a while. It's just not. So yeah, you can take it the hard way and keep fighting it and keep being a dick about it, or you can make the best of it and figure out what you can do.
Well, yeah, it's like a time out too, right? Like, it's like the, like, okay, it's 3 minutes, and then you move from the timeout spot, and now you have another minute, and now you have another minute. Like, we can't finish our timeout unless people start following the rules. Like, every country is beyond this and over it, because they just followed the recommendations by doctors and shit. And if we could start doing that, this wouldn't have to last until next year. So...
Yeah. Yeah, like I have a friend that lives in Italy, and he was posting pictures the other day of them walking around Rome without masks on. And I was like, Italy, who we thought was just going to be like decimated.
Well, the other,
the fucking mask.
The other thing too is stay up to date on guidelines and recommendations. Like, I was at a meeting yesterday that was held all outdoors because my rec department is looking at picking up another piece of land. So we all stood 6 feet apart outside, but no one wore a mask because we were outdoors. We were 6 feet apart, and we were yelling over wind, so it was easier to take our masks off. But I did not feel unsafe because we were following guidelines. Like, and it is much easier when you're dealing with people that everyone buys into the same stuff, because you can. It's not. Yeah. So it does make it easier,
right? Like, if we can't all agree that science is a fact.
Well, and then the whole, like, well, CDC's changed their recommendations. Well, yeah, as they learn more about the virus, I would be concerned if they had the same reaction as they did the day it came out, because they've been studying it forever. I am going to move on to the last part of her question, because I actually got three other emails about this, as far as, is Trump going to actually leave office if and when he loses? So I want to touch on this briefly before we go into I'm obsessed with. I don't know. I don't know. We've never run into this before in the history of this experiment of this republic democracy here in America. I don't know. The Republican Party has committed to saying, yes, it will be a peaceful transition of power. I wouldn't trust them to cut my lawn. So I don't, the safest thing to do, the best way to guarantee him leaving office is in this instance. And I don't, believe it or not, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have normally been like, this is what you should do, is vote for Democrats down the board. Because if there's a Democratic majority in the Senate and in the House, they can remove him from office. Because even if he refused to leave, they could impeach him and he could be removed. So, again, I wouldn't have condoned that 5 years ago. I would say to investigate because not every Republican is bad 5 years ago. Like, but now it's the party of Trump. It's not the Republicans anymore. So this is, and they have made that clear themselves by not standing up to him for the last four. So will he go willingly? I don't know. I wish I had a better answer for you. I do know that if you are paying attention to the reports coming out, I read the New York Times every day, and I'm not saying that to be like, I read the New York Times every day. I'm saying that to say there are more and more reports coming out that a lot of the violence being incited at these protests are being started by extremist right-wing groups who are looking to start a civil war. And I'm more concerned about violence in our streets breaking out between the Boogaloo Boys and Black Lives Matter and protesters in general than I am about anything else, because we currently do not have a president that's standing up and saying that's not fucking okay and all of you are going to jail. And I'm not saying Black Lives Matter belong in jail. That's not what I mean at all. But we have nefarious, malicious groups that are being put into place to try and incite a race war. And we need to be cognizant of that. So the best thing you can do if you're concerned about Trump leaving office is to vote for Democrats, because then that gives you double assurance that you'd be able to impeach him. Could National Police, could the National Guard, could the Army drag him out of office even if he loses the election? They could, but you're looking at it too straightforward. You're thinking about it logically, because here's the most likely outcome. Donald Trump is going to lose on election night, and then we're going to have to wait for mail-in ballots to come in, because we're going to have an unprecedented amount coming in because of the coronavirus. He is going to then call into question the validity of those absentee/mail-in ballots because he has already laid the groundwork for that. That's not hyperbole. He is already doing that, and the Republican Party is now following suit. That means that essentially either millions and millions of votes could get tossed out, or they could take the validity of the election to the Supreme Court. Okay? Take Ruth Bader Ginsburg out of the equation, there's already a Republican majority in the Supreme Court. We saw it happen with George W. Bush and Al Gore. Okay? The Supreme Court kicked the election to George Bush. Otherwise, who knows where we would have been, because Al Gore would have been president when 9/11 happened. So there's all of these things that can take place. So although I'm not worried about the election results, I'm worried about how they will be taken and then how they will be construed and then how it's going to have to go to a court process. And we may not even have a ruling from the Supreme Court by the time Inauguration Day happens. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm telling you, you need to be prepared for all of those issues. Those are all things that could happen. Or he could lose and resign, and Mike Pence could pardon him because he's probably going to get taken to Rikers Island because, like all good mob bosses, he's going to go down for tax evasion. Like, those are...
I can't wait to see him dragged out of...
I mean, that's the dream, right? That's the really fever dream.
I literally have
the pee-pee tape and then dragging him out.
That is literally like a wet dream I have, and it is damp.
It's moist. It's very moist dream.
Fuck him. I hope that happens. I just can't even. That is why. Let's be real. That is why he's being like this. That is why he doesn't want to, like, accept what happens. Because he knows he is going to prison one way or another. That motherfucker is going to be fucked with an orange dildo for the rest of his fucking life.
Well, the other thing, too, is he only surrounds himself with people that tell him what he wants to hear. He doesn't actually have any concept that he has opposition. He has no reason to think he'll lose because they change results to make him feel better so he doesn't go off the rails. So when he actually got booed at RBG's thing the other night, that's the first time he's faced intentional public persecution, because he only goes to rallies for himself. Like, he only participates in things where people are going to stroke his tiny, tiny penis. Like, those are the only things he involves himself in. Yeah. Don't worry. I don't think he'd choke on it. It's very, very small. I always think of it like a little baby carrot. That's what I assume. Like,
100%. Like, orange and weird.
Austin, think about his penis? I mean,
no. God. But I think everyone should mentally prepare for the worst case scenario. And if it doesn't happen, fucking awesome. But you should read up on all of the possibilities that could unfold to understand what we'd have to do to combat that. Because we can hit it off at the head. And these motherfuckers, you still talking about voting for third parties and libertarians? Knock it off. I swear to God. And I have voted for third party candidates in the past. This is not the year. This is not the time. It's not the year. We can have a real good conversation about ranked choice voting and third party candidates when this is over, but this not today.
Absolutely. That little science experiment is not for 2020.
No.
Yeah, I literally just had this conversation with Katie. I was like, not because Katie's voting third party, but because she knows a couple people that want to. And I'm like, Katie, you need to remind these people that this is the most important election that we have seen in our time.
And you guys can't fuck around in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, fuck Florida.
You guys can't fuck around there, though.
Sauce off and just let us float away. Because at this point, I'm so fucking done with Florida.
We got to come get you first. Please. We got to extract you. Listen, Florida, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Michigan, North Carolina. Can't play around this time. Do not do it on like, I have to vote my conscience. No, you fucking don't. Okay? I hate to be like that. Again, we can have a real conversation about ranked choice voting and third parties when this is fucking over. This year, if you want to have any semblance of a democracy left in for, imagine what Donald Trump would be like without the imposing threat of re-election. Imagine the damage he would do, the executive orders he would pass. Just put that in your head for 5 fucking seconds. You thought these 4 years were bad? Imagine if he had nothing to lose. Okay? You cannot vote for a third party this time. this time. And if you want to, start working with the organizations that are actually trying to get legislation passed to get ranked choice voting put into place. Stop just doing this every 4 years. I'm tired of it. What's everyone obsessed with this week? I'm fucking tired of it. I legitimately am.
My kids are, it was voted in by parents and teachers, I don't know how, that they're going back 25% after fall break, which means they will go back like one day a week and on a minimum day schedule. So it's not really a big deal, but it is a big deal because they'll be in a classroom.
Just enough to expose everyone.
Right. They're spreading it out. I don't even get how it's going to work. They're spreading it out so that, and this was the like beginning model. So I'm sure I talked about it on here, but then 100% distance learning was loaded in. So it never happened, but they're going back based on their last name. So like A through D will go back on Monday, D through whatever. So it's all spread out on over 4 days. And I have so many thoughts, but I'm excited. I'm glad. Like, I think that it's a good, they're only going to have, you know, 5 or 10 kids per classroom because it's so spread out. And our schools here are very tiny. There's like 900 kids at the high school. But the people on the page.
Hold on, Stace. I lost you. I'm very excited because our classes are real spread out. Then he cut out.
Oh.
Hello?
Am I good? Am I cutting out again?
Yeah, hang on. Start, just talk so I can see if you're back in.
Country ass fucking Wi-Fi.
There you go. I thought you were going to say country ass white people, and I was like, I love it. Nope. Nope, nothing.
Kids, what the fuck? Somebody in my house is watching Hulu and messing me up. I just know it. Everybody get off the internet!
Oh, that's the title of this episode. Everybody get off the internet!
It's perfect.
Get off the damn internet! I'm trying to record.
Trying to take care of business.
Try this again for the third time. Everybody on the Facebook page in town is divided 50-50. And instead of being excited about the kids going back 25%, half the town is like, this is bullshit. They need to go back 100%. And the other half of the town is like, fuck that. I'm pulling my kid out and we're homeschooling. And I'm like, seriously? Am I the only one that's like, cool, we're weaning back into normal life? Like, This is good.
Well, yeah, because it became a political thing, right?
It did. It's 50-50. It's left and right. And all of a sudden, it's divided. And I'm like, okay, how did we vote on this? Because everybody seems to be divided and hating this decision when the survey went out and we all voted. But I feel like everybody is so freaking negative. And it goes back to what Stacey said about your kids, you know, framing what your kids think. Because one of my daughters is in leadership class and they bring up some topics and they have debates because how do you fill time for leadership class when you can't organize school events? So the teacher asked, what do you think about going back to school? And the kids got in this huge fight and I was listening in and listening to some of these kids, you can totally tell that they're just like reiterating what their parents say. You know, the kids that are like, if you're scared, stay at home. If you're scared, just stay at home. Don't go out then. You know, and I'm like, God, you are 12 and 13 years old and you sound like your parents. I just know that that's what they're hearing.
I hope Lex just goes, fucking boomers.
You have some good shit to say, but it's actually Kira's class. So it's younger kids. And I'm just, they obviously are just mirroring what their parents say. So I hate that this is not even like a cool thing that's happening. All these kids are just filing in line with what their parents think. And now it's not even exciting that they're going back to school in a few weeks, even one day a week for a few hours. It's a political debate and it super sucks. They ruined it.
We used to, so, And I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not trying to sound like I'm super bougie. So when I was
I'm not bougie.
But when I was in third grade, they made me take all these tests to go into GATE, which I don't even think they still do it, which is Gifted and Talented Education, which clearly is a white person thing. I get it. Like, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. But
it's because she's bougie.
It's because I'm bougie. But they had this one class that we took starting in third grade where it was called critical thinking and problem solving, where they gave the class like a kind of complicated problem and you had to come up with 20 responses of why it was a bad idea and 20 responses of why it was a good idea. And it helped you to think through like all of the possibilities that could be bad and all the things that you could do to make it work. And I feel like that's completely missing from our world now, because half the time, the whole point of the exercise was to prove to you when you have these problems over here, but you have these also benefits over here, you can generally come to a middle ground solution that will benefit both parties involved, that everyone loses a little bit, right? Like you can make these exceptions of being like, well, I'm not thrilled with that, but I'm getting this. So I'm willing to take it because it's better than the alternative of nothing. And I look back now, because that wasn't in my head as like a third grader, of why don't we do that? Why weren't all kids taught that problem solving technique of here's a situation? And it was normally like Frank the farmer has, you know, 14, like whatever it was. It wasn't anything meaningful, but I have applied that to so many things in my life of, okay, what's the worst that could happen and what's the best? And how do I make a decision best based on those two outcomes that would be most beneficial to everyone involved? Like I use that to this day and it frustrates me that they're not taught those problem solving skills anymore. It's like a zero sum game and it's so and it's not the kids, it's the parents who aren't. Yeah, so
it's totally the parents. But as adults, we have that in the Office episode with the win-win-win method. If you guys know what I'm talking about, it's the problem solving in the Office. But yeah, so my older daughter had a debate too where they had to argue for or against immigration, and so of course she's like for it, you know, and so she's sitting there listening and. This one girl had to type her answers because her Wi-Fi kept going out. Country ass Wi-Fi. And so she was typing her answers out and she spelled immigration wrong every time, but different every time. And Lex was like, I really just want to type out, are you from another country? Because your English is really bad. Like everything she wrote was broken English, like really terrible spelling. And she was like, I really just want to type it out. Can I? And I was like, no, just be nice. But the kids arguing, even a junior in high school. So these are older kids. These are 16-year-olds arguing for and against immigration. You could hear that these are not the thoughts of these kids. These are things that they've heard people talk about. People stealing jobs, people coming over here. And,
because 16-year-olds are worried about jobs being stolen. Like, get the fuck out of here. You're job secure at Burger King. Don't worry about it.
So many people coming from Mexico and bringing so many drugs to give our kids. That was like a huge argument. And my daughter's like, we have enough drugs over here. I don't think you need to worry about that. Like,
they're all on drugs and they get them on like it's app. They don't need anybody from Mexico. Right? Like, get out of here.
You just hear the parents' voices coming through these kids, and it's just
the Mexicans I know don't even drink. They don't smoke pot. They don't drink. They literally work.
Let me tell you something too. I grew up in a very, very rich town. Like I went to school with the president's the daughter of the president of the Gap. Like I grew up in Pleasanton, California. There's a ton of money there, okay? Those rich kids they're not getting their drugs from Mexican kids. I'll tell you that right now, because the medium house there costs $900,000. They're getting their drugs from parents' medicine cabinets, and they're dishing them out at school. So that is just such... I can't.
I know. It was disgusting. The whole point of what I was obsessed with is the town being divided and parents' voices shining through, like Stacey said, setting up the framework for your household. Do better, parents. do better. Don't have Fox News on 24/7 and just tell your kids that Mexican people are bad and coming over here to...
Another good thing when someone raises a point that you know is just a talking point that they're regurgitating, and this is on the left too, because the left regurgitates talking points also, and if a really good response is, tell me more about that. I want to hear your thoughts on that more. Tell me where that came from. Can you explain to me why you feel that way? Because I'm interested. That's a great
idea for kids.
Tell me more about that.
I don't know. I heard it on TV.
And it's not in a threatening way. It's literally saying, I would like to explore those thoughts further with you. Let's talk this through and see the outcomes of them as they come up in our conversation. Because that is scary. Like, 16-year-olds having those kinds of opinions is... Because you want to be like, tell me one kid that you know, and I can just picture Lex being like, I don't know.
That had their job taken by an immigrant.
Right? Out here in this county. And I love that my kids are anxious to get out of the county, too. I love that we are able to buy property here and have baby animals. And I'm raising my kids to play outside and do chores. Cool. But I can't wait for my kids to get out of here and see the real world again, too. We've only been here 4 years, and I'm already like, holy cow, you guys need to experience some real world stuff, too.
And you know what? Say what you will about young parents. Your kids have such, like, a better handle on, like, different types of people because you were so young when they had them. They have been around your friend. They watched us grow up in our 20s. Like, your kids saw us drink too much, be hungover, like, have fights with friends. Like, they saw all of it because, I mean, having a kid at my age is much more like we're settled. We are like things are, your kids have just been exposed to more beneficial things because I don't understand the apprehension when someone's like, oh, you were too young to have kids. I think your kids are better off for it. In your case, that's not true for everyone.
But they've also lived such, like, diverse places. My husband grew up in the same area his entire life. My kids have lived in 6 different houses and 6 different places. We went from the military to the living in the middle of the forest to having to live with grandparents because we couldn't afford anything for a couple months to, you know, that super ghetto where, like, there were helicopters and drive-bys. Like... And now, you know, now that we're a little bit older, we had our last house for 8 years and then this house for 4 years now. And they're like, okay, you know, like, this is what happens when you have a stable job and you have actual money. Like, they've gone through raising them with us, you know, like.
And you have a lot of different types of friends.
Right.
So they're able to, like, articulate, like, no, that type of that group you're referring to isn't like that because I know them. Like, right. I can pinpoint someone in my head that you're describing, and that's not a thing.
Right.
Stacey,
what are you obsessed with?
Okay, I have two things.
Number it better one, not be your period, I swear to God.
It is not. I'm not on my period anymore. And I weighed myself, and I had lost a pound since I started my period. So I am obsessed with... Number one, I'll start with the, like, least exciting thing, and then the big news.
We can't wait.
I watched Unpregnant.
Oh.
So good.
Isn't it so good?
10 out of 10 recommend if you are looking for a feel-good, buddy, road trip abortion movie.
Oh.
This is your jam.
That's a very specific niche.
With Betty Who in it. Oh.
Yeah, it's all so... good. I will maybe even watch it again this weekend. So good. Like, big piece of very exciting news that happened today. Took Piper to the vet. She is fully 100% healed.
Woo-hoo!
She can run and play and be crazy and be a puppy and all of those things. And I don't have to keep her on a leash at home all the time. I don't have to carry her up. There, like, she can go to the dog park, go on walks. I don't have to put her in a stroller. She can do the whole thing now. So
aww.
I'm very excited about that. And as you guys were just talking, she's laying down because she had to get some shots today too. She's a little sleepy. She's fully asleep, growling and barking and her sleep. The cutest little, like, burr, burr. Like, not even real barks.
What's she gonna dress as for Halloween?
Dumbo.
Oh, yay! I wasn't even setting myself up for that. I was genuinely asking because I knew you would have an answer.
Yeah, that's her Halloween costume this year. She's going to be Dumbo, and it's going to, I'm going to cry the whole time because I cry at Dumbo, and she's so cute, and it's, yeah.
I cannot wait
for those pictures. I cannot wait.
Erin?
That photo shoot with the pumpkins, with the Dumbo, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole thing. Shoot. I got a new phone. I can take even better pictures ever now.
Woohoo!
Wait, guys.
Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really obsessed with anything, but I am going to say that my next book, The Other Women, comes out October. You can pre-order it right now, or you can get it October 1st on the Bold Strokes Books website. I've been getting like some decent reviews on it, which is very exciting. It deals with some pretty heavy stuff. It has cheating.
As opposed to,
I know, right? Like I don't.
Your books
I don't
are
write
always
those cookie cutter bullshit romances. I write heavy fucking shit that's real life. You know what? If people don't like it, I'm sorry. But one of the things that I was worried about, though, is that one of the characters has cheated in the past. A lot of people, where are you?
I know. I stumbled upon some settings accidentally.
It looks like you're at the Hunger Games.
Changed her background to Okinawa, Japan. I've been there. That's exactly what it looks like.
Oh my god.
Okay, we're getting sidetracked. Focus.
Sorry. I got distracted on accident.
So I'm worried about it because I can't even fucking focus now.
Sorry.
Damn it. Thanks, Stacey. But like I'm worried because it has cheating in it and a lot of people do not like to read about cheating and it's not really about cheating. It's about coming out of that and being able to find yourself again. I feel like the best way I can describe it is it takes place in Las Vegas where obviously you go to lose yourself, but these two characters actually find themselves while they're there, which is pretty fucking awesome. I like it. It's a good book. I hope everybody goes and buys it. Please buy it.
I downloaded it to read, and I've been sidetracked. So
it's not. I'm not telling you to read it. I'm just telling other people.
I'm gonna read it because Erin, you're a great fucking author. I have said that on here before. Don't make me stroke your ego.
I feel like I've asked this question before, but out of genuine curiosity, is it better for you as the author that we buy it from the publishing company or that we find it cheaper on Amazon?
Publishing.
Friends, you guys can go to Amazon, but the publishing company is where you should definitely go.
Okay.
They don't have to pay the extra amount of money that like goes to Amazon or Barnes and Noble or Target or whatever. Like it's basically, you know, we get a little bit more of the royalties basically.
So people that want to support authors need to go to the publishing company and order from there.
I'm sorry.
Stacey just put herself on the throne from Game of Thrones.
Dead. I can't.
But yes, you're right. The authors and the publishing house make more money if you go directly to the publisher than if you buy it from Amazon, because Amazon takes a cut of it.
Oh, fuck. But I'm excited about it, and you know what? I haven't had a book come out since May, so I don't know. I don't even know anymore. I think I'm drunk. And I've only had like three drinks, which is not vodka.
Of your four?
So we'll share the link to get Erin's new book on our social media page for sure. Because if you haven't read any of Erin's books, which I really doubt, Erin's a great author.
Well, thank you. Stroking the ego. Yeah, baby.
You know what? I don't do that lightly. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. What am I obsessed with this week? I think I'm obsessed with, this is going to be kind of lame, but I'm like consistently impressed with my wife's resilience to things. like genuinely impressed with her ability to kind of manage the stuff going on. She's got some like family stuff going on right now, and she always impresses me, which after being together for over 5 years, I'm always kind of caught off guard by how I can still be impressed by her. And she's handling some pretty heavy family stuff while she's still balancing. Like, she handles other people's emotional shit all day. Like, I could not be a therapist. I could not listen to people complain, not complain, but work through their stuff with me all day long. And then deal with my own stuff and deal with me and deal with our son. And like, she's just kind of a rock star. And I'm just always kind of impressed with her. And her mom has gotten progressively kind of sicker over the course of the last few months. And her sister and her brother-in-law have been out there and have had to take a pretty big part in handling the illness, which they're amazing too, because I don't know what we would do without them. But for all of the emotional stuff that she deals with like daily, from work to as soon as she gets off work, to dealing with her mom, to dealing with me, to dealing with our son, like, I don't know how she doesn't snap under the pressure all of the time. Like, I get home from work and I have decision fatigue because I make decisions all day, and I watch her sometimes deal with the, not so much decisions like I have to deal with, but like emotional bullshit that hangs in the balance all the time. And I'm just always so impressed with her. And I don't even know if she listens to us anymore because she doesn't drive to work because she's working from home. But she's, I'm amazed that I can still be amazed by her half a decade into our relationship. So she's pretty incredible, and her family's pretty incredible. Her sister's amazing, and her brother-in-law's amazing, and they're really fortunate that they have such like a tight bond. And I'm glad she's going to go see her mom in a few weeks. Even though it's hard to be away from them, her being able to see her mom's obviously more important, which we are actually going to the extreme now of being on lockdown for quarantine. And that is because we need to really make sure that she stays safe before going to see her ailing mom. Because again, you have to take your situation for what it's worth and make decisions based on what your family is going through. And her mom could definitely not, her mom couldn't even handle being exposed to a cold right now. So it's, you know, it's not just COVID, it's cold season's coming up, flu season's coming up. Like, we can't risk exposing her to any of those things. So I will miss Wino Wednesday for a few weeks, but my mother-in-law's health is far more important. So yeah, I'm continuously impressed with my wife and what an amazing human being she is. So, and Stacy's kids came out and spent the weekend with us last week, and we had such a good time. They're such cool kids, man. Like, it was so funny because Stacy's texting me the whole time. She's like, are they being too much? Like, blah, blah, blah. I genuinely enjoy her children. Like, you've raised amazing human beings who are going to do all kinds of great stuff in the world. So,
they came home and they were like, that was so much fun, I want to do it again. And I'm like,
oh my God. Okay. Well, first of all, they stayed up till 1:45, which is way past my bedtime. Like, I was like, can we stop talking now? I'm very tired. I'm not cut out for this anymore.
They talk a lot. Number one. Number two, like, I gave them the rundown before I left the house and I'm like, okay, make your bed, don't be on your phone, help with Lincoln, like, do all the stuff.
They were whatever. Wonderful.
And they were like, okay, we want to, okay. Like, they were so excited, and then they came home just blah, 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 and I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry, Jack. I know they talk so much.
No, you know what?
Girls, all they do is talk.
My two-year-old son is so obsessed with Kira. Like, Kira hung the moon in his eyes. Like, Kira is it. And it's adorable because she's really good with him. And Lex, who's even like, kids, whatever, she's very good with Lincoln, too, so... They're great. They were super helpful. They did make their beds. They picked up their plates. They did everything you would be proud of them for doing without being asked or without being weird about it or anything. We did have play two Monopoly games, which, I mean, Lex won one, I won one. We're going to have to play again. I am a little disappointed, though, because we played Golden Girls Monopoly, and they had no idea who the Golden Girls were.
What? I've never seen it.
Oh my god! This has to be remedied!
We have, like, over here, we have, like, Harry Potter Monopoly, Disney Monopoly, and, like, Simpsons Monopoly. Like, they have no idea who the girls
you
are.
You have Lord of the Rings. Girls.
I take back everything I said about her being a good parent.
Out the window.
We didn't want the girls.
No, the girls were great. I had such a good time with them. So, yeah. They're cool kids, man.
I love that.
All right, that's it for us this weekend, or week, you guys. We love getting listener questions. You're never bothering us. I may not get to all of them. I try to take the ones I get the most about and answer them, like, in whole. But send us your questions. Obviously, we like to talk. I mean, we do this for, like, an hour and a half every fucking week. So buy Erin's book, The Other Women. Okay, maybe she'll give one away. I don't know why she didn't offer, but she's stingy as shit, so that's probably why.
I'll put it on the weekly wind down. I'll do it.
Have a good weekend. Take some time for yourself and your family. You don't have to die on every hill. You don't have to fight every fight, okay? You need to protect your own mental health and your own stability and your family's mental health, and you need to do what's right for you, so... Enjoy your baths and your wine and your friends and your husbands and your wives and your kids, and do something for yourself this weekend.
And your dog.
And your dog,
your cat, whatever. You guys get it. Jesus Christ. Do I have to name everything? Your lizards, your snakes, your fucking, I don't know. Do you have gerbils? Who knows?
My dog, really important to me. And that's unfortunate that you didn't mention her. I'm just saying.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.